to be in your presence. That's where I want to be.
Okay, we're going to start. You guys, we got a lot to go through today. So hang on, take notes. Open in your Bibles, please, to Acts 16. We're going to start right where we left off last week. We're talking about witchcraft in the church, prophetic people saying that they're prophetic, and really, are they prophets or are they false prophets? This is deep stuff, and I don't like to mention names only because there's too many if I started naming. So we have to know the red flags of what some of these teachings are so that we don't get deceived in these end times. And again, Matthew 24 tells us, before Jesus comes, what is going to be the deception? It's going to be spiritual deception. Take heed that no man deceive you. So we don't want to be deceived, and we have to study. That's all we've been doing these last, I've always studied all my life, but I feel like this last 4 years, I've had to unlearn, I've had to restudy, I've had to retrain, and I had to go back into Pentecostal history, find out some of these preachers we thought were so great, what their real true story was. There's a whole lot of misinformation that's been passed on. So we want to start here, because this is important, because now what's going forward is Jesus plus. Jesus isn't enough. We need more. And the more they're trying to get you into spiritual realms, into places that take you beyond the Bible, which we're going to see that Saul did this, and he got in trouble. He went into divination and sorcery, which is forbidden. And so we've got a lot to share. Let's start in Acts chapter 16, where we were last week. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of what? A spirit of divination. Now, the spirit of divination is not new. They had to deal with it there, and when they were meeting together, and guess what? We are having to deal with it ourselves. So we have to know what divination is. If someone were to say, well, what's divination? You need to know what it is, because we're in a rescue mission. A lot of the things that have been going forth in the church have been going on and planned for many, many years. So we're not going to change a lot of these movements, but we can rescue people out of them. So my heart is to help the younger generation. Because now they're looking for experiences, they're looking for signs and wonders, and they don't want the Bible, they want an experience, and they're going into the occult. We are having an occult invasion in the church, and people think it's a move of God. We've had voices that warned us in the past. People like Dave Hunt, he has a whole book on the occult invasion. A Seduction of Christianity book in the 80s saved me from a lot of stuff that I saw a lot of my minister friends fall into, because I saw that faith in your own faith is wrong. We have faith in God. So a lot of the stuff we've studied is roots in new thought. You need to do what study and go back to listen to my messages on new thought, okay? But today we want to talk about witchcraft in the church. So he was possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. Notice that these people have spirits speaking through them truth at first. Truth at first so they can gain favor, gain trust. And this is what happens also with the false prophets of our day. They say truth, but then they say enough to get you misguided, to seduce you away from the Bible and the real Jesus, and seduced into other things. So because we know the warning that many are going to fall away in the end times, and spiritual deception is going to be the means in the church, we thought it was going to happen outside of the church, but it's happening inside the church. We need to know what divination is. And today we're going to talk about grave sucking, grave soaking, whatever, which one you want to call it. The things, how you get new mantles, and also going out in the spirit and talking to angels. All this stuff now is new apostolic reformation. If you don't know what that is, listen, maybe we'll put a link below. The new apostolic reformation is everywhere. I was listening to an ex-NAR group that just started in Israel. And they were amazing. I was listening to the whole testimony and how they said the worst people are the ones that come from, guess where? The United States. And the infiltration that's coming into Israel through America. How sad is that? But they're awake. God's got his people everywhere that are seeing stuff. And it's an exciting time to be alive. And, you know, we've been promised that it was going to be all roses, but I think the biggest battle is going to be the civil war that we're going to see in the church, and we're going to talk about that too. So anyway, here we see this. Paul rebuked the wickedness that was disguised as Christianity. He saw the mixture, and he rebuked it. What is divination? God forbids methods of contacting the spirit realm other than his word. He's not telling us. Now the false prophets are telling you how to go out into the spirit realm, how to transport, how to go through portals. This is all part of what's coming and what's here, and our young people are facing this. So we, as some of us, grandparents or parents, we've got to know what we're talking about. So when they come in with these movements, we can give them the Bible. Some of us, our parents warned, and we didn't listen to them because we thought we knew more than them. It's always the case with the younger generation, isn't it? But the divination in the Latin means to foresee or to be inspired by a god. It's used from ancient times for what? To gain knowledge and to make money. It uncovers hidden knowledge involving the occult. And the occult, as we all know, means hidden. God is not hiding. There's nothing in the Lord that's secret, secret societies. Everything about the Lord is open. It's bright. It's light. It's clear. Everything with the devil is secretive, promising you have to do this to get more. You have to keep doing this. Follow this leader, and you got to be content with your Bible and knowing Jesus. Because I remember going to these meetings, and I just couldn't wait for the Spirit to move and to the glory to fall. And now I'm looking back and saying, this was a lot of hype. It took you nowhere other than you go sing for an hour, and where do you go? You think you're going out in some spirit. We've been really deceived. And really, the Bible says you are complete in Christ. You're complete. He paid it all for you. You don't have to go suck on somebody's grave to get their anointing and their mantle. You don't have it. Why? Because the Bible says the anointing lives in you. He's in you. Right? So we have to just be thankful that it is and thank him. But anyway, all these new movements and methods are always trying to say there's more. And you always feel incomplete, so you're always looking for that next thing. You know, if I sow this $1,000 seed, it's going to take me there. We're always looking rather than just being obedient, being simple. Stay simple. You know, this is really, I'm not even getting to my points here. I got to calm down. Okay. Soothsayers, what are they? They're fortune tellers. This woman here was a soothsayer, fortune teller, diviner. They predict events. Now today we call them prophets in church that give you words. Be careful of that, because some of these people are sincere, but they've gone in and hooked up with a wrong spirit, thinking that that's a ministry that we have to tell everybody, give them a word. False prophets predict the future by contacting spirits. Now today we're going to talk about necromancy. Necromancy is something that's happening in the church today. And I'm telling you what I wish someone would have told me. Because I wanted God. I wanted everything he had. And I started following some of these men. And later on I found out they're contacting dead people in heaven, saying they're hearing from God. God doesn't operate that way. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to go fast, okay? So it's the demonic spirit talking through her, giving her fortune teller's powers. These demons start telling the truth in the beginning, then they start earning the trust, and then this is why God says these occult things are forbidden, because these demonic spirits and doctrines of devils are liars. God is truth, and the devil is a liar. So if he can seduce you to always trying to find more of God, but it's not what the Bible says, God's got boundaries. You know, as parents, you have boundaries for your children. Don't do this. If you go over here, you're going to get trouble. It's not that you hate them. You love them. You don't want them to get into trouble. How much more God puts boundaries? The occult is forbidden, and I'll share more scriptures. But soothsayers were the false prophets. They seduce, and they lead astray through your soul. So this is why now we have music that's seductive, and it's what you see and what you hear and how you feel. The Bible says we're supposed to walk by faith. Sometimes you feel nothing. We worship God by faith. We walk by faith. That's what true faith is. It's trust in him when we feel nothing, right? So seduction, what does it do? It leads you into error. It lures you, tempts you, charms you. And then it captivates you. So now we have a whole generation seduced by music. I love music. I was a music leader for 17 years plus. My brothers are musical. Our whole family is pretty musical. And there's a place for entertainment. But in church, we're to worship God. We're not there to be entertained. It's not about us. It's true worship. True worship has left these buildings because now it's all about you, and it's not away from the spirit of the Lord. Is the real true anointing sometimes not there because he said we have to meet with him. He'll be there in our midst if we're worshiping him, not worshiping ourselves. But anyway, there's a guy that just died. He was pretty much a general, a prophet. From, I think it's Australia or New Zealand, I'm not sure which one. But I'm going to share some of a couple of his prophecies. Back in the day, we thought this guy was okay. I even preached one of his prophecies until I learned he's a necromancer. You have to know what necromancy is so that when these prophets come and tell you something, you will know what it is. So today we're going to tell you how to spot if someone is in divination, if they're witchcraft, or if they're into occult practices disguised. Just like Paul here, he had to rebuke the con game, right? Was he popular? Oh no, this is not popular, but it's truth. And the truth always what? It sets us free. And it gets our eyes back on Jesus. Stop running around these people for words. Okay, so this guy, he said, and he prophesied, civil war is coming to the church. And he said, prophetic Christian ministers are claiming difficult days ahead for the church in America as a major civil war is coming. Now notice, these false prophets are bringing this teaching in, and they're saying that those of us that resist it are the ones that are wrong. Okay, now look at what he says, the civil war that's coming. He said, the war will be waged in every available media format, including the internet, magazines, Facebook, Twitter. He claims it's going to be very vicious. It's going to center around moving in the realm of the spirit. He sees great criticism coming upon anyone who claims to see angels, to see the Lord, or visit heaven. Now, we've been talking about these things. God doesn't want an angel to come and teach you anything. We are not, this is a big part of the New Apostolic Reformation. Angels, portals, traveling in the spirit realm. Now, these young Christians that love the Lord, they want all this because it's so exciting. You know, so he's saying now, this was in 2013, they're preparing the way. These false prophets are preparing the way. We're going to bring in all these teachings, but if it's resisted, it's the bad people. They're going to resist you. It's almost like reverse psychology. So anyone that's going to claim to see angels or see the Lord or visit heaven are basically going to be persecuted or talk to people who are in heaven. In other words, this is what we're coming out with, and they have, if you've been following things. The Lord said, I am taking my church through the supernatural veil. Boy, doesn't that sound exciting? And those who don't follow... Now, this is the other thing about false prophets. If you touch me, your kids are going to be cursed. If you don't, you know, they always, God doesn't do that. That's never the Lord, this control, this manipulation, this forcing upon you something. God doesn't move that way. He'll tell us something. Like you'll share something with some of your friends. And if they don't want to receive truth, you know what? You just have to back away. You don't force truth. God doesn't force His truth on any of us. But these false prophets are so deceiving, and they act like they have so much power, and many of them are very famous. So what happens? We think, well, they got to be right. So he's laying it out. He said, I'm taking my church through the supernatural veil, and those who don't follow or don't want it or stand against it will be left behind. This is the thing with the false. You're always going to be cursed. You're not going to be blessed. So we all say, well, I don't want to be left behind. I mean, isn't that, I want to follow. Another prophecy, he said, you're going to be supernaturally transported. It's spirit travel. Go through portals. Travel through space. He said, this is what from him, this other general, the same guy. He said, the word of God clearly tells us that it is God's purpose that we experience days of heaven on earth. There's nowhere in the Bible that says we're going to have heaven come to earth. They believe in dominionism, that we have to inhabit the seven mountains. And once these seven mountains happen, then Jesus can come back. Poor God, he can't do anything without us. No, guess what? He's sovereign. He can come back when he wants to come back. But that's dominionism, seven mountains teaching, part of the New Apostolic Reformation. This is the other thing about this movement from the latter rain, based in the occult. A lot of the preachers we thought were so great find out that they were Freemasons. And there are a lot of people saved from Freemasonry. But as far as I know, when you put the stuff on your grave and you put all that, they died Freemasons. There's one thing of coming out of something, but Freemasons, if you really understand the highest of the degrees, is anti-Christian. And they believe Lucifer is God. So this is some pretty heavy stuff. So you have to know that this stuff happens in the church. Why? It's preparing for the Antichrist, the new world religion. It's going to be a one world religion. Now, a lot of you guys know what's happening in the world, but you don't know what's happening in the church. And that's why some of us have studied and studied and studied, and people think you're nuts. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear what's happening in the world, but they also don't want to hear what's happening to the church because we've been made comfortable. We've been made comfortable. So they're preaching that you're going to experience heaven on earth. Many now are entering into supernatural walks with the Lord like never before. Now, young people think that this is the carrot. This is what we got to do now. I mean, if this is what these apostles are saying, and they're saying if you don't have an apostle over with you, you don't have a covering. But these are all false apostles. We don't want false apostles leading us. We want the Bible, right? We want the Spirit of truth. So there is a war coming, those that follow the Bible and those that follow false prophets. This is the conflict, just like it's always been in the Bible. Jeremiah faced the same war. It's not a new war. It's the same. So he says, while a large portion of the church is basically hanging on and waiting to get to heaven when they die, there is an ever-increasing number of Christians who are beginning to enter into a supernatural walk with Jesus. The number of Christians who are being supernaturally transported to different parts of the world to pray for people, blah, 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 it's increasing every day. More are being taken to heaven, able to be taught by the Lord. Now, this is so subtle because it basically says you've got to have an experience outside of the Bible to hear from the Lord. Why do you think he sent his word to us? And he said, do not add to my words and do not take away from my words. Well, these false prophets are all adding, and the emergent church is taking away. That's another whole subject. But we don't add or take away from the Bible. That's a holy fear thing, that we don't say the Lord said when the Lord didn't say. And we don't give people words to mess up their life when it's all just a vain vision and it's a bunch of pride and flesh hopping around saying the name of God when it's flesh. It's nothing. But anyway, people are following these movements. So he's saying many are being taken to heaven in order to be taught by the Lord or to be taught by angels. God didn't say the angels are going to teach us anything. This is the move of the NAR. The angels are going to come. You need to see angels. So if you're not seeing angels, Barb, something's wrong with you. You're not spiritual. You mean that you didn't go to heaven? God didn't give you a word? Something's wrong with you. Then they say this is biblical. I'm not going to go to all this, but these are the days where heaven is merging with the earth. This is what they're saying, that the earth is going to get better. It's not going to get better. In Revelations was 11:18. The Lord even talks about how the judgment's coming on the nations and those that destroy the earth. If you don't know that, we are having a lot of things going on in the earth that they're going to face judgment for. That's another whole message. But the earth is not getting better. In other words, the devil is after God's person, the people, and his planet. He wants to be God. He's anti-Christ. He wants to destroy everything. God says he's against the Lord and his anointed, the kings of the earth, in Psalms 2. This is all prophesied in there, but it's not being taught right because preachers are so concerned about building up their own kingdoms and turn church into a business. They've forsaken the word of the Lord. And we got to get back to what the Bible says and stay in his perimeters. And his perimeters are don't go into the occult. Deuteronomy 18, it's forbidden. And the reason why it's forbidden is because when you start letting demons speak to you, they're liars. Why would you want a demon to talk to you and give you a false word and a false vision when it's not from the Lord? Many people have fallen. Someone gave them a word and they acted on it. You're supposed to marry this one. And that's not nobody's business. That's not even in the Bible. Don't get me going. You're listening so good. There are many who have been experiencing this for a number of years who are now beginning to come out, and they're going to share these experiences. Everything in the Word is available to us today, he says. And great number of Christians now are beginning to walk with God like many old saints of God did. God did not tell you you're going to walk like Abraham. God didn't tell us we're going to walk like Paul and Silas. This is the Bible, and it's here to help us. And a lot of these things, we put ourselves in these scriptures, and it's not for us. That was a day when God was teaching and training. We can't just take everything in the Bible and say, well, that's going to happen to me now. There was Isaiah. He had a message. There was Ezekiel. There was Daniel. There are things that happened. We are not Daniel, Ezekiel. That was for the Bible. That's why we have it today. But these people are saying we're supposed to be just like them. It's time to move on and go higher, he says, in the realms. There's realms of God. Then he had a visitation from Joseph. Now we're going to talk to you what necromancy is. God says it's forbidden to talk to the dead. So why is God going to send Joseph to give you a message? See, this is where it contradicts when people go, they're so spiritual. Well, Joseph visited me, I'd run. Joseph's dead, and guess what? He's not speaking. But why seek the living amongst the dead? Okay, well, if you're not convinced, hang on. Anyway, so that then the big thing they have is angels, and this is in a lot of these magazines. Don't even call me a charismatic anymore. I'm totally coming out of that movement. There's so much mixture and so much weirdness. But this is from one of their magazines. This is a new assignment. New assignment? This is new. This is new. You got to have new because the old is so yucky. You know, we got to have excitement. We got to addict you. If we get you to church this way, next week we got to do something else so you come back. No, we got to get hungry for God. We just got to say, Lord, we want to hear the truth of your word. Oh, that's so boring. All you old folks. So here's the new assignment. If you're seduced easily, you're going to go for the next thing. And I've done it for years and years and years. I hate to say it. There is a new assignment of angels all around us. They say angels that will connect us with our destiny. I call them angels of destiny. They are assigned over the prophetic word over your life. But God is releasing a new force. Look out for that word force. That's always new age. But God is releasing a new force, a new company of angels. Oh, they're new. Really? That will be governed by the Holy Spirit to break you through. He's been showing me that he is doing something new with angels on behalf of the chosen. Okay, so necromancy, what is it? Let's get into this. And we're going to turn to one scripture. And if you want to go there, 1 Samuel 28. Necromancy is big in the prophetic movement. And if you don't know what this is, like I say, I'm teaching you things that I wish someone would have told me. But there are books out there. Dave Hunt, before he died, for years and years and years, he said the occult is in the church. Look at his books. I've ordered all of his stuff. And I look, it's like he knew what was coming. He saw this coming. And everybody mocked him. He was put down, but boy, his voice still speaks. If you want to listen to him on YouTube, he's got one on revival, a bunch on revival, but it's a false revival that's coming. Those are a couple of them that are good, just off the top of my head. So necromancy is big, and it's, what is it? It's secret knowledge. It's communicated by someone who's died. The direction is sought from the other side. So these prophets are always telling you to go to the other side. Go into the spirit realm. Abraham came and walked through my wall and gave me something. This is necromancy. It's getting information from the other side. Now, necromancy is a call-up of a spirit for revealing the future. The occult, magic, sorcery, enchantment, they all use it. They have seances. They don't call them seances anymore. But they call up spirit. They conjure up spirits and they talk. Now, we're going to talk about how Saul did that and what happened to Saul. So today we have Harry Potter, the necromancer. This started in our kids' schools. Very sad that this was allowed, because it's an open door to witchcraft, necromancy, talking to the dead, going through portals. And everyone thinks it's just a cute little story. No, it was very well planned. Today we have preachers that seem to have more supernatural experiences than the Apostle Paul. They're having more visitations than Isaiah and Ezekiel. A famous TV preacher said, "Angels would appear in my bedroom at night, just stand and look at me. I would wake up to see angels in my bedroom, all size. Call me crazy, but I would even see little boys in my bedroom with beautiful white robes. They almost looked like girls, but they were males." This was a personal testimony of one of these guys. Angels are messengers. They're not starers. They're not going to come and stare at you. And you don't activate angels. God does. Amen. You are not controlling angels. I'm sorry to say, and you're not controlling the weather either. Or if you are, you're sure doing a bad job in the Bahamas. Lord, have mercy on our stupidity. We thought we were so great. Some more revelations from this man, this prophetic guy who's huge in auditoriums. He said, quote, "If we quit giving you new revelations, we're dead." Told on himself. So you know what I put beside this? Jesus plus. He's not enough. We got to make up stories. We got to come back and say we had visitations, that we didn't go anywhere and suffer on our flaky head and had a bad pizza. Jeremiah had the same problem. They prophesied a false vision, divination. Ask yourself a question. Is this prophecy or is this divination? Because this is what we are in the middle of. Deuteronomy 18, he said, verse 9, "There's not to be found among us those who use divination, one who practices witchcraft, a sorcerer, a medium, or one who calls up the dead." So if God tells us not to, he's not going to either. Now we're going to go through one place in the Bible where God allows this, and this is Samuel and Saul and the witch. We're going to talk about this story when we close here, because God, but also because Saul did it, he died. There is a curse connected with that. You are not to go and seek the living among the dead. So today we have new techniques to hear from God. Now this is very seducing, because we all want to hear from God. We don't want to be left behind, right? But you don't want to go on the wrong train that's going in the wrong direction, and you find out you're on, you totally missed up. You went on the wrong movement. So here, let's look at 1 Samuel 28. This is quite an interesting story. And I was kind of confused about this, because I read a lot of commentaries, and I was like, okay, this guy says this. This one says that. I finally settled on what Dave Hunt said, because Dave Hunt has a thick book on the occult that's coming. And I studied what he said, and I'll share with you what he said. Because King Saul here seeks a necromancer. He does everything he can, because he sees, he's afraid, he knows that things are going to turn bad for him. God's not speaking to him. Let's look in Deuteronomy, or 1 Samuel 28. In verse 3, and I'm just going to kind of skip around here because it's kind of a long story, but Samuel died, and Saul did one good thing. He was supposed to put away all those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land, because God did not want his people consulting with these people, with these witches. So here he's doing that. Okay, now in verse 6, he's trying to get answers. Because of his disobedience, he's under divine judgment. God's not speaking to him. When Saul inquired of the Lord appeared, answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by the Urim, nor by prophets. This is in the Old Testament how God spoke to his people. The New Testament, how does God speak to us? Through Jesus Christ, the Word. Jesus and the Word are one. He's given us the Word. He said, don't add to it and don't take away. Our movements, all we've done is add to it, because it just wasn't exciting enough. So in verse 7, he's getting desperate. If God's not going to speak to him, I'm going to go find my own. This is how people do. If God's not answering, doesn't answer them the timing that they want, they go off and they seek other things to get answers. So he said, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit. Uh-oh, he's in danger. He knows he's not supposed to be doing this, but he's desperate. Then in verse 8, Saul disguised himself. You don't have to ever be, if you're doing things at night, you're not supposed to be doing. Why do people always sin at night? Because you don't have to do anything if you're walking with the Lord. You shouldn't have anything that's deceptive about that. Everything should be in the light. So what does he do? He disguises himself and he puts on a raiment, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. Here again, he sneak in. Whenever we sneak, boy, don't we make excuses for why we do what we do. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by familiar spirits. He wants to know. He wants to know what his future is. God does not want us to know our future if he doesn't tell us. That's why he says you got to walk by faith. He says you have to walk by faith. You have to trust me. Trust in me. That's what we're called to. We're not called to seek out people to give you words to tell you what's going to happen, which doesn't happen anyway. They're liars. He said, behold, thou knowest that Saul hath done. So they bring her to this witch, this diviner, this sorcerer, this soothsayer. And she's afraid because she's in hiding. Isn't it funny they knew where she was? They were supposed to get rid of all of them. How did they know who she was? That's always a question. And so she's scared for her life. She's a witch. She's in this. And she knows that there's a decree throughout the land to get rid of all these false people. And that's what she does. And Saul swore by the name of the Lord. Isn't this amazing when people are backslidden, how they use God's name? I swear by the name of the Lord, nothing bad's going to happen to you. No punishment. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, now this is why I want to read what Dave Hunt said. Dave Hunt was, this was back when he was alive. He said, she didn't bring up Samuel. God did. This is an exception in the word. Now listen to what he says. God allowed him to come up. In fact, she was shocked at what she saw. And this is what I say. God is sovereign. And he can do what he wants. But guess what? He got punished for seeking this. I'll show you the scripture in 1 Chronicles where he got punished for seeking this. She was shocked that she saw, and she was frightened, and then she recognized this really is Samuel. And she knew she was in trouble because then she realized that was King Saul. And this had been forbidden, but that is the one exception in the Bible, and God allowed it for a purpose. Okay? And what happened to Saul? In Chronicles 10, verse 13, so Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. So he paid a price, didn't he? But God, isn't that amazing? Because sometimes you think you got everything figured out. And I was like, well, this has to be a demon speaking. This can't be God. And so I read this commentary that what some, and you guys all do with what you want on this, but I just thought, you know, he did get punished for doing it because this is what's happening now. People take this scripture and they have now Christian necromancy groups. If Saul did it, we can do it too. I was shocked on the research I saw. Christian necromancy. Well, we have Christian yoga. Let's just add a little necromancy to it too. So anyway, whereas God allowed this to take place, Saul still paid for that sin. It's condemned both in the Old and the New Testament in contacting spirit entities because these entities are deceivers and they are liars and they're destroyers. I'll leave this article up if you guys want to read it. How some people went into some of these realms and how spirits came back and said they were their son and they went to heaven and they went here and they said, Jesus isn't real. You can live any way you want. The Bible's not true. So why would you want to conduct, even go to a familiar spirit that's going to lie to you? They're seducers. All right, I'm going to close with this. You guys doing okay?
Yes.
He wanted to bring up a ghost to tell me the future. There is a movement today. It's an ancient practice of necromancy. Now, everything is old, but it's getting revived under different names. It's a form of seeking to make some kind of link with the dead, to go to graves and soak up the anointing. Great men and women of God, they say, have anointing and power, and you can receive their mantles from dead preachers. Necromancy, trying to get secret information that is forbidden. When you use it, you'll be deceived. It's rebellion. It refuses to stay within the boundaries that God has set for our own good. So we need to purge divination and replace it with teaching from the Bible. God allowed this to happen for a purpose of pronouncing judgment for his disobedience. Here again, people have to know, we have movements now of revivalists that teach pagan practices. This is old stuff, and they use a scripture. I'll show you one they use. Seeking new experiences, trying to get more power and closer to God by occult practices. And guess what? It's addicting. And like this one false prophet said, we got to keep giving you new revelations or we're dead, because you're going after these prophets to get something more, right? You got to have more. So it's Jesus plus. What is grave sucking? A group of people get around a cemetery looking for the grave of some famous preacher. If this was true, that we could go to the cemetery and we could all get anointings and mantles, well, let's just go have church in the cemetery. That's how dumb this is. Grave sucking is based upon the idea the spiritual calling of an individual who's died may be reclaimed and used by another person. The occult activity is loosely based on the teaching. One of them, I'm going to give you two bases here. 2 Kings 13:21 came to pass as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elijah. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elijah, he revived and stood on his feet. This passage of scripture has nothing to do with grave soaking, however. In the books of the physics of heaven claims, this is what they're saying, and this is what the whole new generation, this might be not, some of you aren't aware, but this is what they're teaching in these supernatural schools of ministry. Quote, there are anointings, mantles, revelations, and mysteries that have lain unclaimed. Literally, they were left because the generation that walked in them never passed them on. I believe it's possible for us to recover realms of anointing, realms of insight, realms of God that have been untended for decades, simply by choosing to reclaim them and perpetuate them for future generations. Now, this is what they're doing when they're going laying on these graves. They believe they can suck up the anointing out of a deceased person's body by laying on their grave. And they have grave parties. This is necromancy. This whole thing with Elijah and Elijah, that was God's doing. That was a one-time event. You can't put yourself in the Bible where you don't fit. And this is the other thing. People, well, they did it. Well, just because they did it doesn't mean you're supposed to do it. That's why we get in trouble. We don't take verses in context. We pull things out. We twist them. We add. And then we say God's saying something he's not saying. And we confuse people. So the fault goes back to teaching, bad teaching, by saying, well, now, this is what they teach also, is that the occult and the New Age and all these things, they have things that truth. We need to quit being so religious and stiff. Learn from these other religions. This is the danger. This is paganism mixed in the church, and this is going into the one world religion. This is the one world religion where Jesus is going to be eventually snuffed out and all the occult practices and mixtures are in the church. You see that happening? Start with the music, bringing in music that sounds good. We all love music, but music that leads, oh, they're saying, there's no such thing between Christian and secular. I just heard some young little whippersnapper that just barely can change his underpants. Made me so, I was like, what kind of preaching is this? I mean, seriously, he calls himself a minister, and he said there's the word Christian is in the Bible. Well, the Bible they're reading, the Passion Bible, is the New Apostolic Reformation Bible. They're not going to, a lot of things are not in there. Sorry, didn't mean to get off on that. You can take that out if you want. They invite the spirit of, they edit me. They invite the spirit of the dead person into their body for an anointing. guess what? You can't get anyone else's anointing. You have your own. The anointing of the Holy Spirit lives within you. We've always been taught, go get that anointing. Fast for 40 days and maybe you'll get it. Go lay on a grave and maybe you'll get it. I wonder what they're going to think of next. I don't know. Do we get an anointing or a mantle from dead people? Then we should all move to the cemetery and have church. This is necromancy, plain and simple. Divination. Read Leviticus 19:31. We have a living God and we are to seek him. If God wants to do something, that's wonderful, but we're not off seeking signs and wonders. A wicked generation seeketh after signs. Signs follow us. If God wants them to follow us, but it's his doing, it's not us seeking it. We seek first the kingdom, his righteousness. These things are added to us, plain and simple. We have a living God. We seek him. Do you want an anointing from someone that got that came from a dead man's grave? Oh, I just want Catherine Kuhlman's anointing. I felt the presence of God around her. That is necromancy, and he is a necromancer. And some of you know who I'm talking about. It's totally not right, and a lot of people are doing it. When Elijah asked Elijah for his mantle, he told Elijah, it's not mine to give. We don't give other people our anointings. If God wants you to have, it's his, he is the giver. It's not mine to give, he said. He was told to wait and see if the Lord would place it on him in 2 Kings 2:10. If he saw him taken to heaven, he would receive the blessing. That means he was supposed to watch and follow him closely. He paid a price. A lot of people now, they just want somebody else's gifting, somebody else's calling. The Bible tells us we're to seek the Lord. We're not to seek man, not an anointing, not an experience. Amen? Let's pray. You guys doing all right? Pretty quiet in here. Father, we thank you. We want to know your truth. There are so many false doctrines going around, and there's so many hungry people that don't know any different. They're just being taught. And these preachers are such smooth talkers, and they take scripture and they twist them. Just like these false prophecies I shared in the beginning. It sounds like, wow, civil war's coming, and I don't want to be left behind. I want to see an angel. I want to be taught in heaven like all these other people. And there's not enough people preaching the truth. That these are not of you. This is a wrong spirit. This is a wrong vision. It's a wrong destination. We are supposed to get people saved. This all distorts us from our true calling, that this earth is just a time here we are going to pass through. Eternity's a long time. And we want to make sure we bring others with us. And we don't scare them away by all these flaky visitations and angels and all this stuff. We preach the word. The Bible says, preach the word. So, Father, we pray for all of us today that we have eyes to see and ears to hear, and we really do read your word for ourselves in this hour. Everyone said?
Amen. We just want to share a quick message with our YouTube audience. First, we want to thank you for being here. We know that your time is valuable, and we don't take it lightly that you choose to join us each week. We really appreciate that. If you have found our messages helpful, we would ask you to please click like and share these messages on your social media to help get the truth out. We also just want to introduce that we're a small fellowship of believers here that want to bring people back to the truth of God's word and follow the real Jesus. We do life together, and we see you as our extended church family, and we would love to be able to do life with you too. We would invite you to connect with us on our private Facebook group. You can find a link for that below in the description, or you can search for us on Facebook by looking for LIHPC Online Church Fellowship. Please find us there and send us a message that you'd like to become a member, and we look forward to connecting with you. Many of you have taken time to write letters or send emails. We find that a great encouragement and a blessing, and we thank you. We really look forward to getting to know you better online as well. Lastly, if you see us as part of your church family and you would like to support our ministry, we have a link below in the description that you can click to donate to our ministry. You'll also find a link for that on our private Facebook group. Or you can go to our church website, which is livinginhispresence.org, and click Give up at the top. We appreciate your support and donations, and we just thank you very much for being here and being a part of our church family.